When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Lou Sanders, Lulu to my friends, and this is my podcast called Cuddle Club. The clue is in the title. They do make me tell you what it's about, but I think the demographic that I'm attracting in can guess. It is about cuddling, but there's a bit more to it than that. Thank you for joining me. This week's guest is Sarah Pascoe. She needs no introduction. You will have seen her all over the telly, really, and she's done a couple of great books as well. She's very clever. So it's a very interesting chat, and why don't you listen for yourself right now and see if you agree with me. So enjoy the podcast, and please be aware that we didn't actually give each other a virtual hug, and that's not because we've fallen out. You'll see why at the end. Oh, that's a cliffhanger to keep you listening.
Mouse might come in.
I'd love it.
Mouse, do you want to come in? He's over there. He's looking out the window. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I thought of a tweet the other day, and I was like, I can't tweet it because it sounds like Lou. Like, it's going to sound like I'm copying. I wanted to tweet. You know, I think the lockdown is affecting. I think the lockdown is harder for sexy people. Is what I wanted.
Yeah, that is really funny. Also, that's not in my. That's not like, you know.
It
that's
is. Oh, it felt funny. I thought I should just text it to Lou, and Lou can get away with it.
Also, I've stopped. I'm trying to change my tone up a bit, but I've been saying that for years. Anyway, this isn't about me. How was your lockdown, first of all? Hard because you're sexy, I suppose.
I think we've got used to being in the house now. I think the first few weeks, first of all, we were ill, and then we were very frustrated and sad about all of the changes and everything that's going on. And actually, I think we've got more used to it this week. How about you? Good.
Yeah, same sort of stuff. I think we had it, didn't we?
Yeah.
We all had it.
And so the good thing is that took up some time. And it means I'm not scared when I go out, and I'm still not seeing anyone, but I go to the shops and I have to walk to the dog, and I'm not scared about infecting anyone. I'm not scared about accidentally, you know, so I'm not
But do people think you're really irresponsible? Because I'm bowling around, like, and I know people can get reinfected, but it is very rare, and we only just learned that information. So I was bowling around like I was like an immune sort of thing, and I know that's irresponsible, but so everyone looks at you like you're carrying a gun.
I know, it's like, true. You can't lick all of the fruit in the health food shop anymore.
Yeah, you can't piss on it. There's a lot. We're all suffering in a way.
Yeah. On the dog walk, there are people who won't let their dog play with other dogs. The idea that you'd have stroked your dog and then they'll stroke their dog, and somehow people look at you like you're contagious, and you think about all of the germs that you do have.
Yeah. And, you know, we could still carry it on us and stuff like that. It's amazing how I'm super cautious with my mom. Like, your immune system is very, like, also, you hate this because you love science. And what I'm going to say sounds like a 5-year-old girl speaking.
No, it's true. It's called the village effect. The more people that depend on you, the faster your body heals. So they found out that people who had bigger friendship circle, their injuries healed quicker than people who had a very isolated existence. And it's why sometimes men who don't have as many people that they talk to about their feelings can be more isolated than women. And there's a theory that that's why sometimes they die sooner, or they die quicker in old people's homes and things like that.
Yeah.
And so that thing about human contact is incredibly important.
Oh, yeah, no, don't worry about that. It's just a case of me coming round and cuddling you and... hello?
So the podcast is about cuddling.
Oh, yeah. I thought Lou's brought out a new podcast about cuddling.
And you bang on. You bang on there. What do you think about that as a marketing?
I mean, I wonder how much you'd get out of cuddling. That's what I wonder. Well,
we're about to find out, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Are you quite cuddly, would you say?
No.
Are you not?
No, for a really long period of my life, I wasn't very tactile at all. Like childhood, teens, university, didn't like being touched, didn't like being accidentally touched, was very boundaried with my friends and with my boyfriends. And then my last couple of relationships were very affectionate men, and I got much better. And then my current boyfriend is very cuddly, really cuddly, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, can you remember your first cuddle?
With him? He was crying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Go on, with him first. Yeah, I want to hear this. Yeah.
I think he was crying about something. He's a very sweet, emotional boy. It was before we were together. Maybe he was, like, because he's from Australia, maybe he had jet lag or something. So I do remember giving him a cuddle.
And did you feel like this is something more here?
No, I felt like his mum. I felt like, there, because I'm much older than him. So I was like, there, I'm an old lady. You can have your cry. And then it turns out I was, what did you think? Nonce all along.
When did it switch?
It was very gradual over about 18 months. And then at the beginning, it was very, like, friendly, the relationship, which I've never had before. Liking each other and very familiar with each other and very friend-zoney, rather than that thing of like, oh my god, if they don't kiss me I'm gonna die. There was none of that, which I would have taken as a sign of like, oh, there's no passion or you're not attracted enough to this person.
It's probably, you can't be having that desire in the pit of your stomach where you can't eat or talk.
No,
like that's so unhealthy, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, there's something about it that's so amazing because it's such an extreme feeling. It feels like you're really alive when you feel that feeling and that intensity, like when songs, like you really listen to them and feel them and that thing of like colours and absorbing everything. And it's so overwhelming, but it's such a powerful, and it's a you know, like a drug response. Mm. It's so powerful. But sometimes you can have all of that and it blinds you to whether you're really very well suited with someone. That's the bit where you ignore all the red flags because your body just can't absorb them. Yeah. And then afterwards you look back and you go, oh, yeah, I guess he did say that then. But my mind went, la, 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 the colours, the music.
Yeah. It's so addictive, and you can get addicted to that stage of relationships and that addiction or crushes and that. Yeah, but it's not even real. And then you look back and you're like,
It is real, but also we work in jobs that are very intense, and we've chosen that for a reason. And so when we also want that in our relationships, I saw my friend the other day, this is obviously a few months ago before the lockdown, like a book event, and she was saying that she had this new boyfriend and they were just having sex all the time and eating linguine in the bath. And I was like, oh yeah, love that. And she was like, yeah, it's the best bit. And we were having this exact conversation about how, like, disappointing it is when that bit starts to fizzle out and you start eating your pasta at the table in
Although even the pasta could get like a bit like, oh, eat at the table, you pig.
Like, it's so messy, and the trouble is if only the intense bits of your life, if only being on stage or that rampant bit at the beginning feels real to you, then the rest of life will feel disappointing.
Do you miss gigging in that way?
I have both. Like, I do miss it, but I also am aware of the difference it makes because it stresses me out so much. And it's such a consuming thing. Like, most gigs all throughout the day, it's there looming in the distance. And so it affects what I do and it affects what I can think about. And so not having it is just so calm. It's so calm, like being able to do like yoga in my room at 7:30 and the things that you can do in the evening when I would never have the space. Even if I'm on stage at 10 o'clock from about 5 or 6, there's nothing else I can really do. I can't read a book. I can write stand up or I can walk around, but that's it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I think I need to take it more seriously when we go back.
But do you not have that?
I, I don't think I'm that connected with if it, like, because I thought in the past, like, if a gig gets cancelled, the relief I feel.
Mm. But I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that I was feeling that before the thing. So it's like, I think we get into a drive where we're just like, go, go, go. But I think comedy attracts a lot of workaholics and we get off on that, we like the drive of adrenaline.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's comedy and workaholics. I think it's freelancing in general. You can't take time off. It's really hard to enforce time off. And there's two sides. It's either you're working so hard to create work to financially survive in a gig economy, or the other side where you then become successful and you can't say no because you know that, or you don't feel like you're in we're in control of it.
You didn't start taking holidays until recently, did you? And then now you don't mind them.
But I love them. But also, I didn't have much money until the last few years as well. So that's why I wasn't like a person who thought that holidays were things you could have.
Now, what are arms for if not for snuggling?
Mouse is here. Hello.
Hello, Mouse. Not interested. So then now you're more cuddly. Do you miss cuddles in lockdown or not so much because you've got a dog and a boy?
I've got cuddle boys. I've got cuddle boys with a mouse all day long. And then, we have loads of cuddles. Really cuddled up.
You don't miss family ones or other friends?
I don't really cuddle my family.
What?
No.
Really?
I like them, but no, not really cuddly. I think probably maybe like my dad when I say goodbye when he goes back to Australia. Or maybe like a side one round the arm, like that.
Yeah.
And my mum, she's the kind of person that if you ring, she goes, what do you want? Like that.
No, what do you really? Want?
Yeah. Do you want anything? No, because I'm just doing this. Okay, bye. And then a little bit similarly at her house, there's no like tearful hugs. But we do love each other.
You try in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. But is she huggy with your niece and stuff, your mum?
Yeah, she's much more cuddly with babies. And and her cats. She's always covered with cats at the moment because she's got 5 cats. So they all really cuddle. And I think there is something about animals and affection. And it's such a simpler kind of, body heat.
They don't want anything back. You can't get embarrassed.
It's just a different kind of connection.
In what way?
It's non-verbal, so they really see who you are. Like, you've got nothing to be ashamed of in front of them or embarrassed about, and you can't really disappoint them. And it's so easy to fulfill their needs because their needs are affection, play, food, water, and occasionally... Oh, the other day, he got a thorn. He was limping. And he was limping on his back foot, and I stopped him, and I was like, what's going on? And then he let me look at his paw, and there was a thorn in it. And I was able to just take it out for him. And the fact that you can just solve problems, it's just such a nice
and
feeling.
They trust
you and you trust them.
So you don't miss them?
No. No. I miss hanging out with people. I miss socializing with people. I miss backstage rooms and green rooms and all of the comedians. But that's not a cuddly environment.
No. Say hello. You cuddle on the way in. You cuddle on the way out.
Quick kind of hug that's a bit like none of us kiss on the cheek and we don't shake hands. What we would just like, all right, mate. You're all right, mate.
A laugh and a joke and out you go. I love it.
Yeah.
When you have like business meetings or whatever, like back in the day when you remember them. So would you go for like handshake then?
Yeah, I think so.
But I
do a lot of hugging a kiss on the way out actually sometimes.
Do you? If it's a good meeting, if they've been good.
I think maybe it's my way of showing that I feel confident and taking charge of it, maybe. Sometimes it's not the right thing to do.
Handshake on the way in, cuddle on the way out.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Oh yeah, as a top, were you cuddled at all?
When you were a kid with your parents, did they cuddle you more when you were a kid?
I don't know. I feel like from about three, I didn't want to be hugged at all. I just, you know, here's the thing, and you might not agree with this. I felt from a very young age that when people hugged you, it was about them and they were stealing your energy, right? So like uncles and aunts and people, I was small, and people would try and soothe themselves with you. And I was just like, no, get off. I hated my dad's one of nine and my mum's one of seven. So they both had really big families. And as a child, you're always told to kiss people. And I didn't ever want to. I wanted to be left alone. And I think that's what sometimes gave me a thing with touching, is that like if an adult was very drunk, they'd drape themselves on you. And so I always felt like it was very like people going, oh, give me something. I want your affection. And that's why I was quite tight not to give it.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, go and give them a kiss, go and make them feel like loved or whatever. And it's like, well, I'm a kid, actually.
Yeah.
My friend has got a little baby, no big deal. And she goes to see this guy who's a craniosacral guy, and he's a bit woo-woo. You know, I love all that stuff. Yeah. And he said she thought she was bringing up a kid to be quite independent. She's only like 6 months old, but she'd put her at nursery because she had to work again and stuff. And it was really good for the kids, the little babies. Like when they saw each other again, they were really happy, but she felt like it was making her quite independent, even as a baby. And then with lockdown, that all stopped. So she said to this guy, this cranial guy, like, oh, she's whining every time I leave the room, and she's becoming really like dependent and not independent at all. And he said, just talk to her like an adult and they understand. She was like, what? And he goes, yeah, just say like, oh, I'm just going to the car now. Be back in a minute. And I've been on the phone to her where she said it to the baby. And the baby's like started grizzling, and then she went, oh no, don't worry, I'll be back in five, or I'm just speaking to Lim on the phone. And the baby has stopped grizzling. It works. It's so I mean, not every time, and I suppose if you're upset, it's harder to get that energy across. But like, to know you don't, because we're also used to like babyfying babies, of course. Like, and pacifying them.
Well, I was thinking about that. I went to Lapland like 5 weeks ago. Christmas is gaslighting children. Christmas is such, it's like, I was like, we of course we grow up with like anxiety and trust issues. We tell kids that the world is magic, that anything is possible. One of the people who was with us, the cameraman, his son, who would have been like four, he asked him, he said he liked Christmas because it didn't matter who children were or how poor they were, Father Christmas got everybody a present. And then he said that his wife, it was too hard for her to have him believe. She said, just so you know, that's not true. There are children in the world. And isn't that awful? Like, but because for that child, he thought the idea of Father Christmas was so egalitarian But yeah. It didn't matter if you had nothing on Christmas Day, you would have a present from Father Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so it is odd that we lie to children. I know what a lovely song.
Nice little boy that Mama's ruining that child. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well, now she's asking.
Would you say you're good at cuddling, given that you hate it?
I tell you what I've got. It's like I've got like toddler, like this, and this is going to sound like I'm putting myself down, but I'm not. My kind of fat is like toddler fat. Like I work out all the time, I exercise, I'm a very healthy person, I'm a vegan, but I've got like, I'm fleshy, I've got, so I think the way I give a good hug, if I do, is that I've got some meat on me, that's what I'd say.
Really?
Hmm.
Yeah. I can sort of imagine you coming at someone like a toddler if you're excited. And it's actually pretty damn cute. Toddlers, when they want to cuddle you, that's what we should do with kids.
Yeah.
Never force kids to kiss anyone, or like, I don't want my nephews giving me a hug if they don't want to. No way.
Exactly. But there is something so lovely, like when you meet someone's kid and they just take a liking to you and climb up on your lap or climb on you, and they initiate that, and that's so great.
When I was younger, my dad left quite early. No big deal. Didn't he all? I would go and like sit, like there was one train journey I remember, and there was a guy sat there with a tie, and I just waddled up to him and just sat on his lap and leaned in. And apparently my mum said he absolutely shat himself because he's just like this, like he didn't want to move me to be cool.
Well, I think it's very difficult with men. I think it's very difficult with men because they can't just respond how I could respond. It's like, oh my God, this like kid is adorable. What's your name? What are we playing? Because everyone around them, they are instantly suspicious of like, oh, are you enjoying a child's affection or a child's whole body? It's awful. Here's the difference between me and my son. My dad left, and then my sister Cheryl, who's the middle one, she always loved my mum's boyfriends. But when I say that, like the first night they came back, Cheryl would be on their lap, kissing them, holding them, and I would never kiss them or hug them ever. I would just stare in the corner of the room with my arms folded, like at my enemy. And Cheryl was just straight away like, and they always loved her so much because she was so easy and giggly. But then when they left, Cheryl was always so heartbroken. She's like, oh, is so-and-so never coming back? Because she had always thought that they had a relationship but didn't understand. No, they're just here for mum. And then they go again.
Yeah. Oh, well, good in a way that they were just there for the mum. Lucky they weren't really bad ones there for Cheryl. I mean, that would have been worse.
I've never seen the positive before. I'm going to text Cheryl and say it could be a lot worse. There's worse things in rejection, Cheryl.
Have you ever had any weird cuddles or like really bad ones or really good like ones that stick out?
I have, and I thought of it earlier, and this is very dark.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously I'm not naming anyone.
Yeah.
But my mum had a boyfriend. She had lots of boyfriends, so this isn't locating who this person is.
Yeah.
And when he was going out with my mum, the worst thing happened where his dad murdered his mum and then killed himself.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I don't talk about it. It's not my story, it's his story.
Yeah.
It happened, he lived with us, and it happened at a time so I was like early teens, a very formative time of my life, but also a time of my life where I hated all men, hated him, hated all of my mum's like boyfriends, hated that they were part of our life. So he got this news, he was on the phone. He came back into the house, he was crying, and my mum said, go and give him a cuddle. And I was like, how is this for me? How she said, go, tell him you're sorry and give him a cuddle. And that was the worst cuddle of my life.
Flipping hell. Well, I feel sorry for you in that scenario, but I've got to say, I feel sorry for that chap as well.
No, absolutely. There's just a horrific thing he had to go through. The trouble is that in that stage, my understanding, so this is this again, it comes back to the same thing. It wasn't a cuddle freely given. It wasn't a point of my life where I dealt with wanting to show people I empathized was putting my body on theirs. It was a time of my life where I could have had a conversation with him. I couldn't imagine what he was going through. I could have made him some soup. I could have done something like that.
Made him a cup of tea.
Or even just sitting with someone. There are other things you can do.
Yeah. Remember that, guys, out there, if you listen to Cuddle Club, you can sometimes make a soup, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, also, one of the ways, I really love, do you read Esther Perel or listen to her podcast?
Yeah, I love Esther Perel.
I'm obsessed with her, right? And this, I just read Mating in Captivity, one of her books, and what's so amazing for me about it is noticing all the ways that people show you that they love you, because quite often in a relationship, especially when it goes on for a long time, we look at the ways that they failures, like say like one of you wants to have sex more than the other, one person will be like, well, why can't we have this sex life, and why can't you do this, and why can't you want me like this? And what you do is you ignore the fact that that person always makes you a cup of coffee in the morning, or you ignore that they always pick up the towel after the shower. And Esther Perel has a thing about how men are often quite if they talk less in a heterosexual relationship, if they have less of an emotional vocabulary, but they might have a really good physical vocabulary. But women, because we really want to talk and hear things, sometimes we ignore it. And I thought that was such an amazing thing to think about, that quite often a man wants to touch and feel okay that way, and a woman goes, I need to talk about it with you, and then I'll feel better.
Esther Perel, Mating in Captivity.
That's so good. And she wrote one called The State of the Affair as well, which I've got, but I haven't read yet.
She's so good. I love her. I just listen to her podcast. But the insight that woman has, and I've said on this podcast before, but I'll say it again, that I tell loads of men to listen to that podcast so they can examine themselves and their relationships, and none of them bother. And if you tell a woman that, they're writing it down, they're listening to that podcast.
Yeah, I sent it to someone I didn't know very well at Christmas, and he never said thank you, and it's so embarrassing. I thought it was so interesting, and I must have spoken to him about it when we were working, and then I DM'd him, like, I'm going to buy this book for you, I'm going to send it, because I just think it's so great. And then he didn't say anything, and then I read the back of it a couple of weeks later, and it makes it sound like a sexier book than it is.
That's brilliant.
And I thought, maybe he just read the back and he was like, how to fizz up your relationship, like, and then just thinks I'm a knob.
Oh, no. You should text him and say,
I'm just going to never speak to him ever again.
That's easier. Yeah, it's easier. I was thinking about sending it to my mum, actually, but I've got to butt my head out of, I'm always, like, trying to change people or give people tips. And it's like, what do I know? Nothing. And
I don't think it's about to change people. I think it's giving someone, like, pleasure or something they'll find interesting. You're not trying to fix her.
I am trying to fix her, yeah. I love her, but I am always suggesting ways of her being happier, which does get grating.
Come on, let us in.
Personal question. After you've made love, what next? What's happening after that?
Put on a crime podcast. If it's nighttime, if it's a nighttime sex, and we're about to go to sleep, I'll put on a true crime podcast.
You go to sleep to true crime podcasts?
Oh, yeah. And the grislier, the better. The more
that is
gruesome,
so bad.
The quicker I go to sleep. It's not. It balances something in my brain.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. We've spoken about this before, I think.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. Because I think, so the word that we all use at the moment is anxiety about our feelings and especially our uncomfortable feelings. And for me, terrible things balance out what would be excessive in the real world, and it just neutralizes it.
I mean, it's not for me, but I love that it's for you.
Quite often it involves very, very good storytelling. Hearing the story, so actually you are just being told a story. But that also involves usually murder.
That's true, because the way that they reveal the information is fascinating and keeps you on your toes. That is really true. We should all listen to, like, murder mystery stuff to know when to, like, reveal the tidbits.
Well, you could put this music under anything.
Are you a good judge of character?
Everyone thinks they're a good judge of character.
Well, yeah. Kinda, I guess.
I think I am a good judge of character, but then I think everyone thinks that about themselves. Like, everyone thinks they've got a good sense of humour. So everyone goes, I'm good at it, and I'm the only judge of this, and everyone else is wrong. And I think it's the same with a good judge of character. Like, Yeah. People say, like, someone married a con man and lost all their money. They then go, I don't understand. I'm usually such a good judge of character. And it's like, you're not Deirdre. Yeah.
You're not Deirdre. You've got no money.
You're not Deirdre. The fact that your £600,000 townhouse is now
in Eric's name. Missing. I guess everyone does think. And also, as my friend and yours, Anna Davies, said in his podcast, No one's good or bad. Like, no one's, you know, all good or all bad. We're all a mess. We've had a conversation about that before as well, about rapists.
I think what we were talking about is how sometimes people don't understand when they have a friend or a loved one who's accused of rape, and it doesn't make any sense to them because they've never been raped by them, or so they didn't understand that their loved one has the potential to do that act. But it's it's like with murderers. Murderers don't murder everyone they meet. Like, other people just think they're a nice guy who bought a newspaper, or...
And we all are different people at different times, and that's the thing. So I think we all think we're good judge of characters, and if someone is very nice to us, it's hard to...
Oh, yeah. There's something in comedy with that, where there'll be someone will go, oh, that so-and-so's a bitch or a wanker, and you'll go, oh, I think he's a really great guy. And they're like, yeah, of course you do, because you do panel shows, so he's being nice to you. And then my level of success, even though I'm not the most successful person in the world, but because I have some success, I have some status, which means mostly comedians are nice to me. So I think all comedians are like the greatest people.
But then I do sometimes watch how people are with other people, and then it makes me not, do you know what I mean? Like, if people are nice to you but not other people, or, you know, that thing of, I don't know, how people...
I think the best test sometimes of whether, this isn't just comedians, it's everyone. Steen and I have said this before, when people are rude to waiters.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
It's so hard because you're then like, oh no, you're one of the really bad guys.
Oh yeah, do tell us this one. Who would you most like to cuddle? Everyone's going to say me.
Who would you most like to cuddle? Present company accepted?
I would like to cuddle... Beyonce.
Very cute. Beyonce. Yeah, why not, actually? I bet she would give a very strong...
It would just be a cool very strong thing to be like, I'm hugging Beyonce.
Yeah. I'm not one for, like, Instagramming pictures like that, but you're going to Instagram that. You're going
to. I think you probably wouldn't be able to Instagram it, but it'd be better because I would just know that it happened.
What about you really take it so she looks lovely? So, if anything, she wants to Instagram. Because she hasn't got very many nice pictures of herself, that one.
Oh, yeah, go on, tell us this one. Yeah.
When do you most need a cuddle? If indeed you do. You're an independent woman. I don't know.
You most need a cuddle when you're hungover or too much to drink the next day. And that's when if someone's very kind to you.
I like my friends to stroke my head. I particularly like my male friends to stroke my head, but there's nothing in it. Just like the affection. Yeah.
And it's so soothing.
Right, we'll say goodbye. Thank you so much for doing it. You're now a member of...
Welcome into the Cuddle Club cupboard.
That's our catchphrase. That's our catchphrase. Thank you, I really appreciate it. And have a good gig tonight. So that was Sarah Pascoe, very fun. The keen-eyed among you, the keen-eared. Keen-eared? We'll notice that we didn't give each other a virtual hug, and that is... because she said she didn't want them, and I didn't want to force her to do it, if you were listening. But also it's because we had a few technical issues and we sort of ran out of time. So there we go, that's the truth. Sometimes it's nice to tell people the truth. We also learned that in the podcast, if you were listening. So I'll give her one in real life when I'm allowed to see her. I hope that's okay with you, everybody. So you can follow Sarah Pascoe. I'm sure you already know that, but it's at Sarah Pascoe on Twitter, and on Instagram it's at sarah.pascoe. Sarah's got her own podcast. It's a book, now it's a podcast, and that just shows you the multimedia platforms that are available. And it's called Sex, Power, Money, three of my favourite things. And also I think she's got a BBC show which she filmed at the Palladium. She was at the recording, it was very good, so check that out. Also, she's got a new sitcom coming to BBC. So enjoy that information. If you can review this podcast kindly, that would be great. And if you want to subscribe, be my guest. I won't force you, but it would be lovely. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram. On both, we're at Cuddle Club Pod. Thank you for listening, and remember to CC everybody in, if CC stands for Cuddle Club.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.